In Syria, government troops are reaching the northern part of that country, where neighboring Turkey launched an offensive against Kurdish fighters last week after President Trump assured the Turks he'd withdraw U.S. troops who had been protecting the Kurds. Now, the Syrian forces are heading north to protect the Kurds, who announced yesterday they'd struck a deal with Assad's regime, having been abandoned by the U.S. It's an amazing turn of events. The Turks say the Kurds in Syria are linked to a Kurdish separatist group in Turkey. Of course, the U.S. backed the Kurds and Syrian separatists fighting the Assad regime, but also the Kurds in fighting ISIS. Now Assad, who's backed by Russia and Iran, has sent troops to protect the Kurds. Gail Samaklamon is a senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations. Gail, you've been to Syria several times. Your thoughts on Syrian troops approaching an area where Turkish troops are killing the Kurds. But in addition, U.S. troops have still not pulled out. They're in the middle.
The race is on to control different towns right now. There are a lot of folks I know and have been in touch with all day who have found safety in Manbij, because the fear from folks on the ground is that these Turkish-backed opposition forces who have committed atrocities elsewhere will come to the town of Kobani. And you see both Turkey announcing that it's going to be taking Kobani and the regime saying that it will be going to Kobani according to the deal with the U.S.-backed forces that it made. So you do see this race now to see who is going to get to these towns first. And the big fear is that the Turkish-backed folks get there first because of what they already have done inside the country.
Well, and there are horrific videos circulating, ostensibly of the murder of a Kurdish female leader. It's just horrific, claims of rape and stoning. And we know just people fleeing towns are empty. But what is your sense of the U.S. role here? Because we know the U.S. backed the Kurds to fight ISIS, but also to have some sort of leverage in Syria. Is that leverage completely gone? Is not just Russia, but Iran, the victor here, they both back the Assad regime in Syria?
What we know is that extremism is on the rise, and that what until a week ago was a place where moms and young women could walk around free of danger in men. You know, I have been to northeastern Syria 6 times in the past 2 years. And whether you're talking about Arab young women or Kurdish young women or Assyrian Christian young women, this really was a moment where they were coming out. They were absolutely leading. But now you see this extremist threat rising. And the United States is trying to figure out what to do, because Turkey has not kept its word. It has struck prisons that were holding ISIS prisoners. It has committed atrocities, or forces linked to it have taken people out of their cars and executed them, according to videos. Mm-hmm. And so I think the United States is trying to figure out what it does next. And that also includes this whole idea of religious freedom, which, you know, the administration has been talking about. Religious minorities are deeply concerned, Robin, about what is happening right now on the ground.
Well, and so there's the human interest, you know, the safety of people, the welfare of the people on the ground. But why else is Syria so important? Why is it concerning that the U.S. maybe doesn't have any leverage there anymore?
2 reasons. There are thousands of ISIS prisoners, including international fighters, that their home countries will not take back, Robin. And it is correct that the Europeans have been nowhere on this, even though their citizens have been jailed in northeastern Syria. And the U.S.-backed forces until now have done everything that the United States has asked, including even until now, until this moment, holding prisoners. So for those who think that the Islamic State threat will remain quarantined in a corner of northeastern Syria, there are many more who say that this is a threat that will come and strike us if we do not keep it tamped down. So that's the first reason. And I think the second reason is to have an understanding about what was happening in the region. There was a sense the United States-backed forces did everything that America asked and kept extremism down, while also being able for the United States to be able to watch what Iran and other actors were doing in the region. And that all right now is in jeopardy.
That's Gail Samaklamon, senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations. Gail, just briefly, you've been there so many times. You know people there, and particularly women you befriended. Can you just give us more of a sense of how people are feeling there?
This was a place where the United States really had achieved a policy that brought normalcy. You know, you'd walk through Kobani and you'd go shopping at night. You'd go to cafes. And commonly, your biggest question was, where do you go for hummus, this restaurant or that restaurant?
Because the U.S.-backed Kurds had made it a safe haven.
You really saw where peace was possible with women right at the center.
And just to be clear, it sounds like you're talking about, you know, some of these women establishing this peace. What were the Kurdish women who were also fighters?
The thing that's important to know is that it started with Kurdish women only, but I spent a day in May with the Syrian Christian young women who've been fighting ISIS for the last 4 years. And they were talking about ISIS attacking the Christian community and how they had come out of their houses and were committed to keeping their towns free of extremism. These young women are the ones I'm thinking about now, these Assyrian Christian young women who are trying to protect ethnic minorities, religious minorities.
Gail, thank you so much.
Pleasure to join you.